Live from New York City, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're about health and healing. We're about living a longer, more positive life. This is an empowerment hour. I can promise you today, on an intellectual level, we will challenge the mind to think differently. Chris Hedges, Truth Dig, someone you love coming to a gulag near you. Thomas Frank, Too Smart to Fail, Notes on an Age of Folly. Two commentaries worth listening to. On health and healing, finally the good news, really good news about sugar. It's all bad. But we've been saying that since my first book on health and nutrition, not my first book, my third book, but on health and nutrition, 1971, The Complete Handbook of Nutrition. Then in 74, a really big seller, Body Pollution. And then subsequent to that, How to Get Rid of the Poisons in Your Toxins in Your Body. Sugar, sugar, sugar. One of the most important articles, most commonly downloaded articles, Sweet Suicide, always being updated. In fact, even today it's being updated. Finally, on 60 Minutes, last evening, I couldn't watch it because I was doing an interview, and then after my filming interview, I had to then do my own radio show. Hope you had a chance to hear it. If not, you can go to the archives and download it. It's called Talk Back. But I did receive a message out of my office in New York, where I was hooked up to the engineer, from Doug Henderson. Doug Henderson is a scholar. He is one of America's formidable African-American journalists and investigative journalists, and has written for the AmSan News and other publications. And for about 2.5 to 3 years, Doug helped us as a legal supervisor in our office. He now is helping find homeless people shelter, a very noble, noble cause. Here's what he said in a message that got to me. Gary, 60 Minutes did an excellent piece on sugar tonight. Only problem, you did this decades ago to your detriment, as that woman on the PBS board who was connected to the sugar industry banned you from PBS because of your stand. You should discuss this. All right, we will. But we're going to do it in a positive way, in a way that empowers us. So let's begin. First, a little background. And joining me in studio in New York City is Myron. Myron is our social media person and the one responsible for designing and implementing a whole new website that took a long time, about a half year to do, but now it's just, it's being used as the go-to place for important social, relevant, and health issues, not just information and documentaries. And we even have a new division that we're going to be implementing over the next 2 months. I'm starting a brand new program. We tried for a year to find someone to host it. We couldn't. So I'm going to host it myself one day a week following my noon show. It's the documentary hour, where I'm only going to highlight socially relevant progressive documentaries. And there are about 400 a year being produced, but only maybe 10 ever end up in movie theaters for more than a week, and only one or two or three or four are given any acknowledgement after Academy Awards nominates 5. The rest of them are forgotten. We don't have much of an interest in this, but I believe they're very important, so going to take that to a whole new level. You'll be able to download those documentaries and hear the director for a whole hour. In any case, we have articles by the thousands, in-depth scholarship and information and resources on the issues that are important to us. Currently, we have about, I think, 38 different categories. One of them has to do with, of course, nutrition. And under that, we have just every important article about sugar substitutes. In other words, if you want something sweet, that's not a problem. What can you have that has a low glycemic index? All right, there's coconut sugar, which has a low glycemic index and is all natural. And you also have natural sweeteners like stevia that are actually medicinal. They actually help the body. And then, of course, you have raw, unheated organic honey in small amounts. It's not only a medicinal, helps you, kills bacteria and viruses in the throat, also helps turn off inflammation in your stomach and in your intestines and bowel, very good for the itises, but also can be used as a natural sweetener. But also we show what's wrong with sugars. Now, this is just today. This is just today's posting to give you an example of what we've done. Here are some of the topics that that we have come up with. These are all from peer-reviewed journals. This is today, Science Daily, from the peer-reviewed journal Circulation. That's the American Heart Association journal. Quote, sugar-sweetened drinks, that's all your drinks, linked to increased risk of heart disease in men. Men who drank a 12-ounce sugar-sweetened beverage a day had a 20% higher risk of heart disease compared to men who didn't drink any sugar-sweetened drinks. And this was done by an MD, PhD, from the Harvard School of Public Health. Now, isn't it interesting? And I'm going to take you to the other side of this whole argument in a moment. But now when Harvard discovers something's wrong with sugar, and it's published in a peer-reviewed journal, Circulation, and reported in Science Daily, an official mainstream science publication, then it's met the three standards. So now we have an MD, PhD from Harvard in a peer-reviewed journal in a major scientific publication saying sugar-sweetened drinks. Well, how much is a 12-ounce sugar-sweetened beverage? It's a very small amount. That's a little more than what you would get in a cup. That is about a cup. So when people are drinking soft drinks, do they drink 12 ounces? No. They drink on a hot day 32 ounces, sometimes more. Young people drink as much as 500 milligrams of caffeine, which would be over 32 ounces a day and up. Well, where did they come off with this little tiny amount of 12 ounces? If that's enough to increase your risk of a heart disease and a heart attack by 20%, imagine what the real figure is. So that's good news in that it warns us, but it's an official warning. What about Dr. Mercola and Dr. Whitaker and think of Dr. Raphael Kelman in Manhattan, Dr. Martin Feldman, Dr. Michael Schachter, Dr. Warren Levin. What about all the doctors who for the last 30 and 40 years have been saying, get rid of all the sugar? A problem. They weren't official. They were MDs. They were board certified. Some were professors. Not good enough. So here's the first takeaway lesson for today, and it's a very important lesson, and I'm going to keep saying this till we finally get it. Any truth that is not an official truth is a non-truth. Any new breakthroughs, information, discoveries, cures, treatments, inventions that lie outside of the control and the official sources must be rejected. Not just rejected, but trashed, because it then represents a real and present threat. What if you're an independent physician receiving no government money, no industry support, and you come up with something that helps people? All the while, industry and governments are pouring hundreds of billions of dollars into research that only helps the manufacturers and not the American public. Makes them look bad, doesn't it? So if we've been right all these years, and they've been wrong all these years, if we've saved lives by people using the information to prevent disease, and they've been causing life to be lost by saying that there was no connection, then they're responsible for millions of people dying. So if you look at heart disease as the number one killer, that includes stroke, and you're looking at 20%, you're looking at how many people drink soda, now add to that how many people drink alcohol, now add to that how many people eat meat, all of which increase your risk of heart disease. So that's why we have so much heart disease and cancer. So that means that by them having the official truth, their official truth has caused a human genocide. Millions upon millions of Americans died because of the advice of the official story givers. The New York Times is responsible, in my opinion, for genocide, because of using Quackbusters and other totally discredited sources instead of taking on the opportunity to do their own independent research. Oh, did I forget? They don't do that, do they? They have to stay official. They don't want to lose their respect in the pecking order. So as long as they stay official, they'll continue to downplay the significance of anything in the alternative field, making it look like some bastard orphan that was left at someone's doorstep. It really can't be legitimate. It's not a purebred. It's not from inside the power circle, is it? You never see them ever in their sordid history promoting alternative anything. But Orthodox, that they're good at. So that's just one, but that's not the only one today. Researchers offer insight into how fructose causes obesity and other illnesses from Science Daily. Another study today from the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science. Now, this is a big one because you don't get any more important scientifically in America than to have the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science. That's the ultimate proof that something is true. Quote, a group of scientists from across the world have come together in a just-published study that provides new insights in how fructose consumption results in obesity and metabolic syndrome. That's diabetes. Okay. Now, this is brand new. A year ago, was it any less of a truth because the official sources refused to acknowledge it? No, it was still true a year ago. But in the world today, and this is the second way to take a message, this is our second point today. Reality begins when it's officially acknowledged. Anything that precedes official acknowledgement can't be real because it wasn't officially acknowledged. So think about that. Next, a new study suggests artificial sweetener causes cancer in rats at levels currently approved for humans. Again, Science Daily. Again, a statistically significant increase in the incidence of malignant tumors, lymphomas, and leukemias in rats exposed to varying degrees of aspartame appears to link the artificial sweetener to high carcinogenicity rates. Okay, this is published in the Journal of Environmental Health. Did this cause the FDA to ban it? No. Did this cause anyone in the media to suggest we shouldn't be using it? No. The Surgeon General, U.S. Public Health Service? No. CDC? No. USDA? No. So in other words, we have a study that meets all the criteria for real alarm, and yet we don't warn a single person. We publish it in a scientific journal and then forget about it. Business as usual. Yes. Aspartame withdrawal and side effects explained. And this goes into another study showing what happened when you're on this. And this was a major study from a Dr. Hall. Another study. When sugar damages kidneys. Okay. This is the nephrology division, University Medical Center in Freiburg. Again, small amounts of sugar damage your kidneys. Separately, is this more dangerous than aspartame, sweetener hiding in your food? And it's called Neotame, N-E-O-T-A-M-E. Doesn't that be on the label? But according to the European Union, where it was approved as a flavor enhancer, it is known by its E number, E961. It's made by NutraSweet, a former division of Monsanto, and original manufacturer of aspartame. It's 13,000 times sweeter than table sugar and about 30 times sweeter than aspartame. It's based on the aspartame formula, despite the fact that 80% of all FDA complaints pertain to adverse reactions from aspartame. It's essentially aspartame plus 3,3-dimethylbutyl, the presence of which ends up reducing production of phenylalanine, which makes it safe for those suffering from a particular condition. Very bad for us. Did you know about this? Nope. Next, is the FDA-approved sweetener causing brain damage? The answer is yes, and it's in 6,000 products. That's aspartame. Next, sodas, other sugary beverages linked to increased risk of type 2 diabetes, metabolic syndrome. And this is from the Harvard School of Public Health, and it's published in the peer-reviewed journal Diabetes Care. Quote, a new study has found that regular consumption of soda and other sugar-sweetened beverages is associated with a clear and consistently greater risk of metabolic syndrome and type 2 diabetes. Okay, if you can show the world that we have an epidemic of diabetes, we do. In fact, faster is that is increasing than cancer or heart disease, it is. and will within the next 2 years be the number one disease in America and the world, it will be, then wouldn't you think, just maybe think, that someone in a position of power would say, hey, we can stop all these people and children from having diabetes, shortening their lives, causing heart disease, depression, neuropathy, cancers. It's just about lifestyle. Let's get rid of the sodas and the sugary beverages. Yeah, good idea. Nope, not a good idea. That means you're going to have to say to someone, what we've been giving you and promoting on television all these years, the media selling it to you, the scientists approving it, the physicians not discouraging it, the dietitians allowing it, we were all wrong. We have to be morally held accountable, if not legally, for causing you to suffer in all this death and amputations. That isn't going to happen. Next, study links aspartame to cancer. This is from a peer-reviewed journal, European Randomized Foundation on Oncology and Environmental Sciences in Bologna, Italy, where it was done, and they found that a small amount of aspartame can cause cancer. Next up, new study, low doses of aspartame cause cancer. And this is from a Dr. Betty Martini, and also a peer-reviewed journal. Sudden cardiac death and food excitotoxin additives. Quote, over 460,000 people per year are now dying of a disorder called a sudden cardiac death, according to CDC statistics. This is a condition striking otherwise healthy people who have experienced no obvious symptoms of heart disease prior to their deaths. An alarming number of these deaths are occurring in young athletes, both in high school and college, as well as many young professionals. While cardiologists found coronary disease and suspected previous scars from silent heart attacks in a number of these individuals, one mechanism is getting no attention at all, and that is excitotoxic damage caused by food additives and the artificial sweetener aspartame. This is despite growing evidence that the excitotoxic mechanisms play a major role in cardiac disease. Aspartame, the history of a killer, the whole story. A former FDA investigator, Arthur Evangelistia. Epidemic of sudden death and exposure to aspartame, Dr. James Bowen. Sugar, the disease generator. Syndrome X, the sugar disease. Again, all of these are peer-reviewed journals. Now, why did I give you just these? Because these are just today. You would have thought that the earth shook and the heavens opened and new information came to Dr. Sanjay Gupta, and he was incredulous. You really don't mean to tell me that there could be something dangerous about sugar? Oh, yeah, the two people I was told said. Well, Dr. Gupta, do you have a lack of resources and staff that you could not find what I found in a period of minutes? We have over 200 major studies and peer-reviewed literature showing the dangers of sugar. But it took until last night, until 60 Minutes said there's a problem, that suddenly you said, my God, there's a problem. You, the one who has promoted vaccines with mercury, you, the one who's promoted the personal attack along with the faux reporter over at CNN, Anderson Cooper, on Dr. Wakefield, who is now being proven innocent. And boy, are you going to have to eat crow, because I'm personally leading an administration in front of your studio with all of Andrew Wakefield's supporters asking for you and Anderson Cooper to resign for such terribly biased work. But then again, it's officially sanctioned. That is media, isn't it? It's all biased. So here we have it. Sugar to the world today is suddenly a problem. But last night before 60 Minutes, it wasn't. So when I've said 1,000 times, there is no truth except official truth, what do you think about all those complete pimps as journalists who go over and are embedded? Do you know what an embedded journalist is? It's in bed with the military-industrial complex. It will only show you the part of the story that promotes the illusion that our soldiers are heroic, our efforts are bringing democracy, and if anyone else is killed, they have to be a terrorist or the enemy, and there is no such thing as real collateral damage. Happens occasionally, no. 80% of all the people killed in all conflicts are innocent civilians. But we name it collateral damage. We don't have to see a baby with his head blown open. We don't have to see anyone mourning, because that's not what embedded journalists do. They're there as propagandists. The real journalists would never allow themselves to be embedded. So then we wonder why we're lied to, because it's the official lie. Our educational system sucks. At every level, it stinks. It's an abomination. We're graduating illiterate children from illiterate teachers more often than not, and a system that is utterly corrupt from top to bottom. But it's an official system, therefore cannot be changed. Everything official is corrupt. And it's all a lie, yet that is the only truth that we're willing to accept. And then now you know why so many people will not vote for anyone except the lesser of all evils, or why we put our money in their banks, or why we buy their things and their stores from jobs that were outsourced to other countries they're doing business with. Everywhere you look, you find the same dynamic. If it's official, you embrace it. If it's alternative, you reject it. The trouble is not everybody is participating in that lie. One last mention. I was on PBS in Washington for six different times with six different specials. And then one night I was on there and I was doing a program about Kiss Your Fat Goodbye. And in one of the scenes, I was given a bag of sugar by David Slater, my in-house counsel, who's the son of a legendary feminist lawyer. And he measured out 40 teaspoons of sugar, because I watched him, and then he weighed it, and then we folded it up, and I poured this out, and I'm saying, this is how much sugar the average teenager eats in America each day. So there was no exaggeration in it. The show was extremely successful. After the show, the station manager came over and said, because I'd known him from Detroit, he said, great show, Gary. We broke a record for Thursday night in non-prime time. We're going to probably play this 8 or 10 more times. Fine. But before the night was over, I get a call, and he says, sorry, but I'm not going to be able to play anymore. Why not? Because the head of the station board, Sharon Rockefeller, who sits on the board of Pepsi-Cola, got a call from the Sugar Institute and saying, don't allow them on anymore and don't have that misinformation. Well, there was nothing, no misinformation. So I was not allowed on anymore. That's how the blacklist of PBS goes. Those dilettantes that pretend that they actually know something about media, don't have to live in the real world, fine for them. They're just a lot smarter than what people... They're not as smart as they pretend to be, and they sure are arrogant, but they control the game, and they officially control it. You don't get on if they don't approve it. In any case, I wrote a letter. Read the letter I wrote to the sugar industry and to the entire board of PBS and to Sharon Rockefeller and all the articles I gave them showing the danger of the sugars. Well, guess what would happen today to Sharon Rockefeller, the Sugar Institute, if 60 Minutes held the same diligent investigation against what goes into Coca-Cola and other soft drink beverages. I just mentioned seven right here. You'd have dozens of studies showing the danger. So then someone who promotes something that's this toxic is allowed to be in a position to be the guardian of the gates of anything that goes on. Why? Because when you're on PBS, it's considered official. It's big time. When I was on ABC for 12 years, a lot of people listened. Number one listened to show in the history of PBS, or the history of the ABC, before or since on Sundays. The ratings are there. You can check for yourself. But that's the danger. All the time they try to get me off. Why? Because as long as I'm on a BAI, nobody cares. Because BAI is not official anything. It may have the truth, but it's not an official truth. It has the real truth. So that's how the game is played, just so you know. That said, so now what we have done is we have put our articles on sugar and what's wrong with artificial sweeteners in all of them, and what alternatives exist that get you out of your sweet problem on our website. So, Myron.
Hi, Gary.
How
are you?
From corn syrup to fructose to aspartame causing excess weight, fatigue, depression, brain fogginess, bloating, low blood sugar, high blood pressure, high triglycerides, all things that can harm and kill you. We have the truth. Tell us where we're at.
We have over 100 articles right now on PRN.fm, which is our brand new website you were kind enough to say that I developed. And I'm really proud of it, and people should go over there and look under special topics on the top navigation bar. And there you'll see everything going forward, anything you mention on your show that we have articles up about. Go ahead right there, and you'll see it drop down. And right now we have two special topics, and we're adding more every day. Tomorrow's going to be GMOs, today's sugar and artificial sweeteners, and then we're going to have some stuff on the FDA. So it's all pretty exciting because it's all going to be in one place for people.
Well, for example, the FDA, this is really crazy. We're going to get into this tomorrow. But the FDA rejected 1 million signatures on petition from the labeling of GMO groups headed by Jeffrey Smith and others. And we've been working promoting this, and Jeffrey gets all the credit. He is the person who has been more responsible than anyone else of getting us aware of the dangers of GMO, genetically modified foods, with his best-selling books and his constant diligent efforts. So when this whole petition, which we asked tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of our audience to sign, which they did, the FDA on Friday rejected it. They said, we're only going to accept one letter representing one person. One petition representing a million, we count it as one. Not 1 million, one. That's how perverse and corrupt the FDA is. That's how much inside the pocket the special industry that this should group is. This should be completely abolished, the entire FDA, every single department, everything, and start from scratch and get independent scientists who will not allow any money from industry to do the research to tell what's harmful or not, reinstate the Delaney Amendment so that anything causing cancer in any amount in humans or laboratory animals must be banned forthwith. Then watch how many products go off the market. But Clinton, just another one of the egregious examples of what he did, he got rid of the Delaney Amendment, our single safety valve of protecting us for decades. So tomorrow we will have Jeffrey Smith talking on this. We will have all the GMO articles to show you what's wrong, all the calls to action, all the groups and foundations, all the films and documentaries on GMOs, all in one location, one place you go, and a full education and a full call to action and all the tools you need to participate. That's what we're doing. And that's what Myron has been doing. And every day you'll see a whole nother group. Tonight at 7 o'clock on Progressive Commentary Hour, no guest, just me, 3-part series on the politics of medicine. And this is an original in-depth investigative report. And then it stands there as a document that you can use, fully footnoted. And that way people will get it. This is how we're doing things now.
That's right. And don't just read them and peruse all the articles that we have, but pass them on. Share them with your friends and family. If we don't educate others on these important issues, they're just going to go by the wayside over and over again.
Look, we believe that if you share something that empowers people, you don't take them for granted, you give new and different insights each day, that they will pass it on. There's nothing more powerful than a movement under everyone's radar, word of mouth. It's interesting because over the weekend it was shown that CNN lost 50% of its entire listenership in the last year. Keith Urban was down to 30,000 viewers on his countdown show. And Pacific had lost at least one station because we all saw the Arbitrons lost 85% of its entire audience, the largest single drop in audience in radio history that I'm aware of. I've never seen anything like it. And then you have to ask, well, why is it so many people are abandoning these and other forms of communication? Because who wants to watch another political talking head and biased at that? Current was, in my opinion, the best documentary channel there is out there. Link has some good stuff, but Current had phenomenal stuff. Then now it's all political all the time. Well, hey, you're competing against MSNBC to see who can be more left and more supportive of Obama. So now, once again, it's defending and arguing of appeasement for the lesser of all evils. Stupid as it is, do you think the average person who has a brain and thinks and is independent is going to support that, watch it, listen to it? No, it's boring and it's predictable. And the same talking heads. People are looking elsewhere in the world for their insight, especially that it empowers them. So that is why there's been such a radical, radical shift. People today don't want any more of the nonsense they've had in the past. They want to get stuff that is authentic, not official. And that is the difference, and that empowers them. And that's what we try to do. And by the way, it was not true that last week we had 60,000 brand new listeners to come on board.
That's right. And that's actually, that's more than we were getting a year ago. So like you said, you know how CNN's losing watchers, and so is Fox, and so is Current, and Olbermann's gone now, I think. We're actually gaining that same percentage in ours.
That's so. Per week.
Yep.
We're gaining in a week what all the other most of the stations have of total listenership. And they're younger, more vital, more independent, and more proactive. So thank you for all the good work you're doing there, Myron.
Gary. And come to PRN.fm in your browser.
Okay.
To get to that site.
Now, a commentary. In fact, two commentaries, then opening the lines for your feedback. And one other positive thing here, Orange, and by the way, it's very positive when you know the truth, for people who didn't realize how bad things were to suddenly wake up and say, whoa, I didn't know that that could cause all these problems. Yeah, well, that's good news if you act on it. Here's something really good. Oranges may help reduce stroke risk. This comes from a major study done at the University of East Anglia in England. 70,000 nurses participated in it. Quote, citrus bioflavonoids, called flavonones, seem to be associated with a reduced risk of stroke, end quote. Our data suggests that if you eat more citrus fruit, then you can reduce your risk of stroke. The Harvard School of Public Health was talking about vitamin C and potassium and fiber and other nutrients. You just got to make sure that if you're taking medications that you don't take anything that can interfere with the medication. So you can't assume that if you're taking lots of medications, you just start taking lots of supplements or lots of juices. Look to see if there's contraindications. But in this case, hey, much better way to reduce the risk of a stroke with orange juice, right? So that's good news. Now, many of you know that I'm very concerned that both the conservative movement and the liberal movement, the green movement, the constitutional movement, and the peace movement are not organized. They should be. They have enormous power. If you can leave the egos at the door, work with what you can work with, and leave what you want to argue about so you can argue separately, but understand something. You're not going to have that opportunity to do these arguments if you're not aware of what's going on. And one of the few people who I believe is bringing us the insight and has the articulation and intelligence to do this is Chris Hedges. In my opinion, he is a uniquely progressive individual. He has written Someone You Love, Coming to a Gulag New Year. Now, most people would think, well, that's not possible because they don't see a gulag. And for most people that don't protest, or most people who protest but don't look up long enough to see the larger picture around them, would never imagine that we have such a security state that is looking at us. Well, recently, Chris Hedges and others filed a lawsuit. And now we'll see whether or not they win. If they don't win, we've got serious problems. The security and surveillance state does not deal in nuance or ambiguity. There's over a million agents in the intelligence gathering, like spies, clandestine operatives, analysts, and armed paramilitary units live in the binary world of opposites. Meaning, you ever notice everything with them is good or evil, black or white, opponent or ally. There's nothing in between. Wasn't it Bill O'Reilly said, you're either with us or shut up? You're either a patriot or you're an enemy of freedom. You either embrace the crusade to physically eradicate evildoers from the earth, much like the crusaders, or you're an Islamic terrorist, a collaborator, or an unwitting tool of terrorist. And now that we have created this monster, it'll be difficult, perhaps even impossible, to free ourselves from it. We have 16 national intelligence agencies and an army of private contractors feeding on paranoia, rumor, rampant careerism, demonization of critical free speech, the very free speech that you hear from George Galloway, congratulations, George, on being elected, and often, and others on this airway, and often just invented narratives. They just lie. We know their embedded journalists lie, and we know people at the New York Times lied. Didn't Judith Miller lie about weapons of mass destruction? They justify their existence and their consuming of vast government resources by turning even the banal and the mundane into a potential threat. And by the time they finish, the nation will be a gulag. That is why the National Defense Authorization Act, which was contested by Chris Hedges and three other plaintiffs before Judge Catherine Forrest in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York on Thursday, is so dangerous. This act, signed into law by President Obama last December 31st on New Year's Eve, puts into the hands of people with no discernible understanding of legitimate dissent the power to use the military to deny due process to all deemed even sympathetic to a challenge. The deliberate obtuseness of the language which defines covered persons and associated forces makes all Americans, virtually every American, in the eyes of our expanding homeland security apparatus, potential terrorists. It does not differentiate. In the testimony of the plaintiffs who understand that the NDAA is not about them but about us, repeatedly illustrate this, from Chris Hedges, Alexa O'Brien, a content strategist and information architect who co-founded the U.S. Day of Rage, an organization created to reform the electoral process and wrest it back from corporate hands, was the first plaintiff to address the court. She testified that when WikiLeaks released 5 million emails from Stratfor, a private security firm that does work for the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, the Marine Corps and the Defense Intelligence Agency, she discovered that the company was attempting to link her and her organization to Islamic radicals and websites, as well as jihadist ideology. Last August, there was an email exchange between Fred Burton, Stratfor's vice president for counterterrorism and corporate security, and a former deputy director of the counterterrorism division of the State Department's diplomatic services, Thomas Kopke, director of the operations at Investigative Research Consultants, Inc., and Fortis Protective Services, LLC. In that exchange, leaked February 27 by WikiLeaks, Kopecky wrote, quote, "I was looking into the U.S. Day of Rage movement, specifically asked to connect it to any Saudi or other fundamentalist Islamic movements. Thus far, I have only heard rumors, but not gotten any substantial connection. Do you guys know much about this other than its U.S. domestic fiscal ideals?" Unquote. Burton replied, quote, "No, we're not aware of any concrete connections between fundamentalist Islamic movements and the Day of Rage or the October 2011 movement at this point." But that quickly changed. Stratfor, through others working in conjunction with the FBI, soon linked the U.S. Day of Rage to Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups. And what it says here is they just made stuff up. They made these emails up and sent it to her and then used the made-up emails they sent as justification for saying that there was a connection. There was no connection. That's how it works. If this sounds like a delusion of the mentally unbalanced or perhaps mentally impaired, it was enough to trigger response within the twisted minds of those who work for the shadows, security and surveillance state. O'Brien, who was working at the time as a digital media architect for a publicly traded energy firm, was told by the company's director of Freedom of Federal Programs, a former interrogator and foreign language specialist, that government agencies had come in to agents to talk about her repeatedly. What had she done wrong? Nothing. One of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit, an Icelandic parliamentarian who has advocated transparency laws that would clear the way for WikiLeaks to operate in Iceland and help produce a video about the 2007 Baghdad airstrike that killed two journalists and nine other civilians, did not appear in a court. Naomi Wolf, who along with Cornel West was offered to join Chris Hedges, Noam Chomsky, and Daniel Ellsberg, and the other plaintiffs were there. This is what's interesting. This is the judge questioning the U.S. attorney in this case. The judge asked the U.S. Assistant Attorney Benjamin Torres whether the government would seek to clarify these vague notions of who could be interpreted as being a threat. quote, I support the political goals of the Taliban as material support or associated forces. What do you mean? Torrance did not rule out such an interpretation. Meaning if a journalist or a person or just a citizen on their telephone or in a tweet or anything said they support freedom movements, that's enough. Just a freedom movement. Quote, you are unable to say that such a book consisting of political free speech could not be captured under the NDAA section 1021, the judge asked. We can't say that, Torrance answered. Are you telling me that no U.S. citizen can be detained under 2021? That's not a reasonable fear, the government lawyer said. So it's reasonable to fear you will be unlucky and face detention, a trial? What does directly supported mean? We have not said anything about that. What do you think it means? The judge asked. Give me an example that distinguishes between direct and indirect support. Give me a single example. The attorney, we have not come to a position on that. Judge, so assume you are a citizen in the United States trying not to run afoul of this law. What does the phrase mean to you? Lawyer for the government, I couldn't offer specific language. I don't have specific language. Okay. That means the government can decide anything by anyone, against anyone, at any time. That's what it means. There are now 1,271 government agencies, 1,931 private companies that work on programs related to counterterrorism, homeland security, and intelligence in 10,000 different locations across the United States. And there are 854,000 people with top security clearances in 33 building complexes on top secret intelligence sites. Mm-hmm. And we pay their salaries. So if we lose this case, it'll be rough. Because then everyone will be subservient to the corporate state. And there will be a power to detain any citizen, strip them of all due process. It will permit the security and surveillance state to brand as terrorist any nonviolent protesters and movements, along with social and political critics, that in the government's imagination have any trace to any associated forces. That's why I'm asking you, support every movement to stop the National Defense Authorization Act. Because for those who've chosen not to think that this is important, it is. I'm Gary, and I'll hold my other commentary for tomorrow. That's Chris Hedges. Now let's hear from you at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Welcome, all of you. I'm Gary Nall. And people ask, why would I want to even talk about something like this? Well, because right now, if I don't talk about the FDA and the corruption at the FDA and the USDA and the U.S. Public Health Service, then you won't have any right to buy organic because it'll all be genetically engineered. You won't see small farmers because the food safety bill, the Senate food safety bill, would virtually make it impossible for small farmers or organic farmers to be able to do anything because they wouldn't meet the requirements just for a seed cleaning machine that would cost $1 million. And they don't want you taking any supplements. They're trying to harmonize codecs. So then I could talk about health, but unfortunately, you wouldn't be able to buy anything that would get you healthy. And now they're declaring an executive order that virtually means we're in a perpetual state of war. I even had someone who called and asked, what am I growing? And I wasn't there, but I told my caretakers and other business what I'm growing. They're now contacting every farmer in the United States asking, how much are you growing? What are you growing? How much seeds do you have? Where do you get your seeds? They want to know everything. Because under this act, they can confiscate all food in the United States, and they can confiscate everything and put people to work. Well, why should we tolerate that? We shouldn't. But we're asleep and distracted. and we're acting as if we've been lobotomized. Many, not all. So, of course, if you do not address the most important issues of your time, then what you are addressing becomes insignificant because all your other freedoms have been reduced. That's what's important. Now, also remember, everything that's wrong with sugar, we now have in hundreds of articles up on our website, and also we'll have video up there as well. We have Nadia in studio, and we have Luann on the line. Hi, Nadia.
Hey, Gary. How are you?
Good. And Luann, nice to have you with us.
Gary, how are you?
Good. Luann, let's start with you.
Okay. Well, I understand that you are going to be having a sleepaway, a special retreat for the members of your audience coming up at the end of June.
I'm going to try to. If I get back into the city, finish my filming, which I'm working on now, I have two films I'm working on. One's for senior citizens about their plight, what it means to be a senior citizen today, and try to help them with understanding their future. And I believe that their story, like the veteran story, which was not told, which we're at least now promoting, the whole idea of our homeless vets and how to help them, I believe that we have far more senior citizens. I'm guesstimating about 30 million who are really suffering, and they're suffering in silence. So if I get all this done, then I intend to take the last 2 weeks of June, because I haven't had a sleepaway detox in a year and a half, and then set aside that time as a sleepaway detox.
Well, that's wonderful. If you'd like, I'm happy to volunteer to take calls to get people's information and share with them what goes on down there. I know that there is some information on the website that they can take a look at what Paradise Gardens looks like. Is that right?
I believe so, but again, I don't take my computer with me. I'm not up on there. I'm so I don't know what's up or not.
Okay.
But you've been to several. You've seen what goes on, so you can explain to people. But you have to do all that because I'm not in a position I can talk with anyone with my schedule. So
I'm happy
if you
do that.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So give people your number.
It's 631-504-6198. That's 631-504-6198, or you can email me at whnn@aol.com, whnn@aol.com, and I'll be happy to talk with people, and we'll make this happen. I know people would be thrilled to have the opportunity to really see what health is all about, and more importantly, what beauty and peace and bliss is about. And that's what I've experienced down there. There's an energy, and it's just beautiful down there. Words can hardly describe the way you feel when you spend an afternoon sitting in the most beautiful meditation garden you've ever seen and seeing the animals looking you in the eye and just being around nature.
You can make sure whoever you speak with, if they don't have a positive attitude, that's not the energy that's going to be benefited. People who have positive attitudes really want to start their life, change, reduce stress. That's who you want to interview.
Yes.
Okay?
Good.
The quality of the people is ultimately what makes the event special. Thanks a lot, Luann.
Okay.
Now, Nadia. Nadia, you haven't been on the air here, but Nadia is one of four people that I have hired who have advanced degrees. We have those who have masters from Columbia and New York University, and she has a PhD from Albert Einstein School of Medicine and Yeshiva University, who work with people, because I can't be there. I try to work with the terminally ill people, and even when I'm on the road, they work with the people who do not have terminal illnesses to try to help them with making lifestyle and behavior modification choices. Nadia, what are the kind of conditions that you're finding most people are benefiting from?
Hi, Gary. Thanks for inviting me on with you. Lots of conditions: arthritis, blood pressure, heart disease, dementia, overweight, obesity, lots and lots of issues that people are dealing with in your audience right now.
And are you seeing results?
Absolutely. And I just want to thank you for even giving me the chance to work with them. A few times a week, I talk with people, and we come up with protocols, and a lot of times I follow your protocols that you've given me. And we talk about lifestyle modifications, different foods that they can eat, habits that they can change, and vitamins that they can take so that they can make the changes that they need to make. In fact, a few people have asked me to come on the air and tell us a little story about the changes that they've made. And we have two people here on the air with us today.
Oh, good. What are their names?
We have Ellie and Trevor on.
Trevor, we'll start with you. Hi, Trevor.
Hi, Gary.
Trevor,
thank you for all the information that you have given me for the years that I've been listening to you as a truck driver in the city.
What condition did you need help with?
I had needed help with some pain in my left leg from my ankle right up to my hip.
How long had you had the pain?
I had the pain for about over a year now.
And how much help, what is the status now?
The status is very good. I can move my left leg as I normally should, and I can exercise a bit more.
Good. So Nadia helped you?
Yes, Nadia did help me.
Good,
thank you very much.
And who's the other person?
We have Ellie on the air, too.
Hi, Ellie.
Hello?
Hi, Ellie.
Hi.
Ellie, what condition did you have?
Well, you know, I had struggled with an eating disorder for many years, which I've gotten under control and I'm doing very well with. So that wasn't the issue. But the positive thing was I wanted to go, like, sort of to get myself feeling even better. You know, it wasn't like I'm not struggling anymore with the eating disorder, but I was like, well, you know what? Why can't I just make myself feel better and better? So that's what I had seen Nadia talking to people over the weeks that I come into your store. And so I said, you know, I told her what was going on, and I said, do you have any suggestions? You know, and she came up with, you know, I'm always hesitant. I didn't know what she was going to say. She came up with three or four different items. And, you know, I just said, well, you know, what the heck? I'll take a chance. And I bought all of them. And I was very, very happy. I mean, I just felt like I just started feeling, you know, exactly what my goal was. I wanted to not just be existing and succeeding at a difficult task of you know, with my eating disorder, but actually feel better and better and better. You know, I'm going up rather than staying the same or going down. And she really helped me. I was very, very pleased.
Oh, good. Well, thank you. If anybody would want to be helped by Nadia, how much time do you spend counseling a person, Nadia?
Gary, as much time as they need. Typically, it's anywhere from 30 minutes to about an hour or even more for some people.
Okay. And it's 100% free.
Absolutely.
It's I pay Nadia a very nice salary, as I do all the people who counsel, so people don't have to pay them a penny. They're there to help. So if you want help, then call Nadia at 212-874-4000, 212-874-4000. Thank you, Nadia.
Thank you, Gary.
Now, tomorrow, we're going to take a look at genetic engineering in depth, and we're going to show you why you should not eat anything that's genetically engineered, and why we should put a major effort into stopping the FDA from allowing the former one of the top heads of Monsanto, Michael Taylor, from running the Food Safety Division at the FDA. Not a good situation, but how they threw away a million people's signatures and counted them only as one, that's pure FDA. And we're going to push back on that. I'm Gary Knoll. Thank you all for listening right now. And remember, 7 o'clock tonight, a two-hour special, The Politics of Medicine. You won't want to miss that. Have a nice day, everyone.